While South Africa is still reeling with the news that four people, including twin brothers, have been arrested for alleged Islamic State activities, defense expert Helmut Hitman have warned that South African intelligence services and law enforcement should tread carefully in their prosecution of the four as to not reveal the covert procedures used to catch them. We're on the line to Helmut this morning. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Hi, good morning.
Thank you for joining us. Tell us now, how much intelligence do you believe was gathered before the Hawks made their move? Do you believe they have a strong case to have made the decision to arrest the four?
Look, unless they and government are being stupid, they must have had a strong case to move to an arrest. Because, A, you don't want to get sued afterwards for false arrest, and B, we really as a country cannot afford a situation where we arrest members of our small, conservative, but also pretty loyal Muslim community, Islamic community, on trumped up terrorism charges, for argument's sake. Because all that would do would on the one hand radicalize young people in the Muslim community, and on the other hand give other people the idea that, you know, every Muslim's a terrorist waiting to go up, to blow up. So you need to be careful doing that. I would like to think that they would have been careful. That requires pretty good and solid intelligence. Unless they got lucky and there was an informant. You know, in that case, obviously, you get the information without having to build a hell of a big picture to start with. It probably, in reality, lies somewhere between the two. That they got a hint, and that it fitted in with the intelligence work they were doing, and that finally led to the decision to arrest.
Now, why do you believe that this will be a tricky prosecution? On the one hand, they have to play open cards with the defense team. On the other hand, you want to protect your intelligence gathering methods.
Yeah, that is the key problem. I mean, even in criminal cases, except in criminal cases, you know, what is the worst the average criminal is going to do? Even a murderer will murder, you know, two or three more people, perhaps. A terrorist of any shape, size, or form, and they're not just Islamic terrorists around the world. They're right-wing terrorists, they're Christian terrorists, they're Buddhist and Hindu terrorists around the world, too. A terrorist can kill dozens of people, even a couple of hundred people. If you think back to, for instance, the lone wolf terrorist in Norway, he killed a large number of people on that resort island. You can think of others too. So there, you'd need more care. You don't really want to risk giving away how you found out what's going on, because the risk is higher. Also, if you spent a lot of effort and risk infiltrating an organization, you don't want to have to give away that in court, A, because you're placing the people at risk, B, because it undoes the infiltration, which is a bit pointless then. So there's a lot tied up in this sort of investigation that you can't really reveal. And it's difficult not to reveal it if you're going to court in open, or trial in open court. So it's a fine line that every country has to walk. But, you know, the risk is not just, as it was the part used in the newspapers, of revealing inadvertently how the intelligence was gathered, who brought it, who were possible informants and so. The other risk is we must be very careful how we handle these things, that we don't radicalize young Muslims, and that we don't create a mindset among other South Africans that Muslims are sort of inherently leaning towards terrorism. That's something we really need to avoid. We don't have this problem in South Africa, and we really don't want it in South Africa.
Now, Elwood, how do we deal with homegrown terrorists? It seems to be a different ballgame altogether.
It is. It's the most difficult one. If you're talking international, you have a reasonable chance of intercepting them, mainly because they may have raised flags, popped up on the radar of other intelligence services, and all intelligence services do talk to each other. That includes ours. So you'll get some warning that way. Also, and this is not so good in our case, foreign terrorists have to come into the country and generally have to bring weapons and explosives with them. That is difficult. You have a chance of catching them. Of course, in our case, our borders are so open and so long that it's fairly easy to get in and out. But still, you know, foreigners coming in, they tend to show up on the radar. They don't know the local customs. They don't necessarily know the local languages. They don't know where they are. So things tend to show up. Not always, not 100%, but they do. But your homegrown terrorist usually is what they call a lone wolf, which might not just be an individual, it could be a small group. They're already there. They don't have to come in. They will usually find some way of accessing, say, commercial explosives or stolen firearms from a criminal underworld. These things can be done. Sometimes they bring in from overseas into their country, but it can be done locally. Unless they talk a lot, or unless somebody in their immediate environment becomes suspicious and gets worried and goes to the authorities and says, whoa, there's something happening here, it shouldn't be. Your chances of picking them up by normal intelligence work are not very high. Eventually, you will catch them when they do something. as we've seen recently with the shooting in Florida. We've seen the shooting at policemen in Texas. You saw the guy in Norway. You can't monitor everybody all the time. So you depend, against the internal lone wolf, you depend very heavily on luck.
Now, why would ISIS or Al-Qaeda target South Africa and South Africans?
Personally, I don't think Al-Qaeda and ISIS, insofar as they're structured organizations, would want to do anything in South Africa. I have a suspicion, and it is only a suspicion, it's really just based on being a cynical guy, that to them South Africa is much more useful as a location through which to move funds, through which to move people, maybe even to send people to give them a rest to have a planning conference. Mainly because we have exceedingly good communication links, both electronic financial on the one hand and air travel links with much of the world. And secondly, we have a small Islamic community in the country, which is not a problem. So nobody's watching it. They're normal citizens, normal taxpayers. We're not paranoid about them. So if you come in here and you mix among them as a friend without telling them what you're doing, who's going to notice you? As long as you don't rock the boat. But rocking the boat will change things. Then the security services will start looking at all Muslims, saying, oh, right, let's watch them, particularly ones who are coming from overseas or been on holiday overseas, gone on pilgrimage. Then they start getting worried. If I was Al-Qaeda or ISIS, I wouldn't want to do that. That's the boat I would not wish to rock. On the other hand, both organizations have a sort of independent franchise, whatever you want to call it, fringe, and a lunatic fringe. And those people are not controlled by them. And your lone wolf terrorists are specifically that. They are not controlled by ISIS or Al-Qaeda. They are fired up by the propaganda those organizations put on the web. They decide to do something, they go and do it. They don't ask anybody higher up the system. So that's the immediate primary risk to us.
Well, on the one hand, you would like to see people alert authorities when something suspecting untold or possible terrorism. Is there not also a danger that people will use this type of method to get at people that they are angry at for one or other reason?
Look, that's always going to be a danger. I mean, that happens with informants in the criminal world too. You know, I'm a drug peddler, and the other guys intruding into my market area, so I go and provide evidence to the police to drag him away. Or I just don't like somebody, then I pin something on them. Even if nothing sticks, you know, the fact of being investigated, A, mud tends to stick, and B, it takes up time and effort and money to undo the damage. So that is a risk, and of course, being accused of something in the terrorist environment is more of a problem than being accused of something criminal, which is probably also easier to disprove. So yes, there is a risk. Yeah, I mean, if you took an extreme, you could see a father who doesn't like his daughter's boyfriend going to the police and saying, I think that guy's a terrorist. It's not impossible. It's happened before in other countries, not maybe to that extent, but it's happened. And it will be something you have to look at. And this is, again, a case where it is the experience of your intelligence officers and your police officers that is critical. Because an experienced guy has been in the business 15, 20 years or so. He has a fairly well-developed sensory system to tell him when somebody's fibbing or when somebody's telling the truth. And they are critical. And that's one of the big issues of intelligence services, is retaining people so that you build that experience base. You can't get it overnight. And another one, and this is where we fall down, is your entire intelligence service needs to have confidence in its senior people. And we've been last few years playing musical chairs with senior appointments, which makes intelligence officers themselves a bit twitchy. As in fact, one gentleman said to me from one of the services, how can he with a straight face recruit agents if he doesn't know from one day to the next who his bosses are going to be or what their policies are going to be? There we need to think harder and get a bit more rational about how we handle our intelligence service and a bit more coherent in how we manage them.
Yes, absolutely. You know, these are important points that you've been highlighting, and we really appreciate your time and the insight. Thank you very much for chatting to us this morning.
Anytime.
Have a good day, Almut.
Thank you.
Thank you too. Bye. That was Almut Hitman speaking to us about the issue of homegrown terrorism and how the prosecution have to thread very carefully with the current situation. Bringing us on to 5 minutes to 8.